Some of the instructions that we are given in the pages of Scripture are not happy thoughts. I wanted to start this lesson with that, because our lesson this morning, well, it's got some good things, but it doesn't contain what we might think of as happy thoughts all the way throughout. Some of you may have looked at that scripture reading this morning and said, oh wait, Dan forgot to change that on the overhead, because that's the same thing he had last week. Last week we talked about service. This week we want to focus on the first few words of that passage, that we are given instruction by the Apostle Paul to abhor evil. He says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to or cling to what is good. The word abhor is a very strong word. Detest, repulsive, have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with in any way. When we think of the word abhor, it puts us in mind of things that we never want to be close to. And it should. That's the point of the Apostle Paul's statement here. Evil should be something that we never want to have anything at all to do with. Notice he doesn't say abhor those who do evil. He doesn't say abhor evil people. He says abhor evil. We're not talking about hating people. We're not talking about avoiding people. We're not going to be talking, as we say these things this morning, about aversion to other people for whatever lifestyle or kind of person they may be. Abhor evil. And I think, considering the context in which this is written, remember chapter 12 begins with submit ourselves, change ourselves from the world to be like God. I think in the context we need to recognize that what Paul is saying here is keep evil far from you. Abhor evil in your life. Have nothing to do with it. We're going to have to interact with people in the world that we may not like some of the things they do. That's just a part of living in the world we live in, for one thing. But that doesn't mean that we have to allow those things that they do to become a part of our life. And that we can't seek to avoid those things to the best of our ability. Abhor evil. One of the reasons that we need to abhor evil is because evil is empty. It's empty. There's nothing there of substance. How many times have we watched movies about the evil bad guy? Dr. No, Golden Eye, all those bad guys that we've heard about and seen, whoever it may be. I guess Loki's one of them now, I don't know. But by the time you get to the end of the movie, you find out those guys have nothing. There's nothing there for them. Why? Because they were focused on evil, and evil has nothing in it. Filling yourself with evil is like trying to satisfy hunger by drinking water. They say it'll work, but have you ever tried it? Folks, if you're hungry, drinking water, it may take care of it for just a little bit, but you're going to have to put some food in there eventually. Evil is empty. And it brings an emptiness into us. Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with mindset on earthly things. And what do we know about that? It's all focused on them. And on things that are going to disappear. What did Jesus say? The things of this earth are going to rust. Yes. They're going to corrupt. They're going to erode. They're going to fall away. Just like life that's compared to grass that withers in the sunshine. Your grass still growing? It won't for long. Well, here it might, but it fades away into nothingness. That's what evil's all about. Grasping at nothing. Because whatever we might grab a hold of, no matter how much of it we may get, we're going to need more. Sin leaves a hunger for more without ever being satisfied. It'll keep you from getting the nourishment that you need. It'll keep you from receiving the Word of God, because if you fill yourself up with junk food, you're not going to have any room for the good stuff, right? That's why Mom said you can't eat candy right before time for supper. That's why you don't use Mountain Dew when you're dehydrated, because it don't help. In fact, it makes it worse. I mean, hey, I think it's worth a shot, but ultimately it's not going to give you anything. Mountain Dew is pretty good, but it won't give you what you need if you're dehydrated. It'll make your throat wet. But you're still going to need something else. And that's what sin does. That's what evil is. And that's why we need to abhor evil. Stay away from it. It just makes a big old sinking hole within us that cannot be filled. And we should want nothing to do with it. Evil is spoiled and will spoil you. We know what 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22 says, don't we? We'll study it in a little more detail in our Sunday morning Bible class in a few weeks or months when we get there. But that's where Peter talks about those who are false teachers, because they have turned against God and they've gone back to what they came from. They had escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but became again entangled and overcome, and they're worse off now than they were to start with. Because they knew the way of life. And now they turn their backs on it. It would have been better for them not to have even known it. Like a dog in a sow. Got washed up and ready for the show, and then got back in the mud again. As disgusting as that is, that's a little more pleasing than the image of the dog, right? But maybe we need to think about that image of the dog a little more when we think about evil. Evil is spoiled. It's bad. It's like pulling the stuff out of the fridge that's been at the very back for 2 or 3 months. Yeah. That's what evil is. And what's that going to do for you? It's going to make you sick if you eat that kind of stuff. That's what Paul's talking about when he says we need to abhor evil. We don't avoid that stuff just because Mama said don't eat the bread that's got grain on it. We avoid it because we know it's bad for us. We don't eat rotten things. So why would we fill our souls with rotten things? Because of the Lord and our obedience to His will and our submission to Him and deciding to live in His grace and in His knowledge, we've been cleansed. How can you who have been made dead to sin live any longer therein, the Apostle Paul says? Why would you want to live in the dead? Abhor evil. Stay away from it. Because it's going to make you dirty. We need to understand that giving in to our physical fleshly passions is only going to draw us more into those things. I like corn candy. But one of the problems I have with corn candy when it's at the house is I just want to keep eating. I know there's some people that agree, that's just disgusting. How about M&M's? Reese's Pieces? Skittles? Can you live off of Skittles? I mean, Skittles, they're not bad. But when you go get a few of them, you want more. What is it they say about Lay's? You can't eat just one? You always buy the little bitty tiny bag of Doritos, because if you buy the big bag, you're going to eat the whole thing, aren't you? Why? Because when we get into those things, they take us over. That's why sometimes when my wife gives me a bag of chips, I'll eat on it for a little bit and say, please get rid of it. Hide this somewhere. Because it keeps drawing me in. Pulling me more. If there's a dozen chocolate chip cookies, then that's how many I want to eat. That's what sin does. It'll spoil us. And it'll fill us with things that are of no good to us, that will destroy us. That's what Jesus is talking about. If we read in Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, as he explains the parable of the sower. Talks about that. He said, the others are those sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Those weeds don't choke out your garden because they get this high. They choke out your garden because they take it over. They surround what's there that's good and destroy it. Take everything away from it that might be useful. That is what evil is. And that's why we need to abhor it. If we want to abhor evil, we need to think about the emptiness that evil gives us. We need to think about the fact that evil will spoil us. It'll put us back among the dead rather than the living. And it will separate us from God. It will separate us from God. We know Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Notice, nothing on God's side changed. You let evil get in the way. Evil separates us from God. It builds a wall between us and the Lord. It puts a big old barrier up there around us so that we don't have access to God anymore. Maybe a more pleasant illustration of this. You know when you got a little baby crawling around the house and you just got to where he can move and go where he wants to go? And you put things across doorways so we don't go tumbling down the stairs. And you put stuff in front of all your little pretty things underneath the TV and whatever so they can't grab a hold of that barrier to keep him from getting into something you don't want him to get into. The little things you put in your plug so they don't stick their fingers or fork in the outlet. You put them in your outlet, not in the plug. That barrier, that's what sin does. It keeps us from getting to God. It gets in the way. That's exactly what Isaiah was saying had happened to the nation of Israel. Think about the condition Israel was in when Isaiah wrote these things. They had turned their back on God by giving themselves over to other gods, by putting their trust in the nations around about them instead of putting their trust in God. It doesn't take much reading about the nation of Israel to realize why God wouldn't listen to them anymore. And what happened to them as a result? They were sent off into captivity. In fact, the northern kingdom disappeared. They got spread out through the world so much that they didn't even exist anymore as a nation. The only thing that saved Judah, the southern kingdom, was the promises that God had made through man and the fact that there were a few kings and leaders that were able to bring some of them back to God. They put a barrier up between them and God, and that's what evil does to us. Now, while we're talking about this, what are we talking about when we talk about evil? You know, we can abhor something real easy. Murder. That's evil. We abhor it. We don't want anything to do with it. Sexual transgressions, picking on young people, or picking on the weak, I should say, not just young people. We can abhor that. Everybody can get behind that. But let's understand that when we're talking about evil, we're talking about anything that is not of God. Anything that is not of God. In fact, when we look at it in light of the fact that evil separates us from God, anything that would get in the way of us serving God and doing His will would fall in this classification of evil. There are some really good books out there to read. And I love to read. Reading has been a passion of mine as long as I can remember, because I don't remember much past about 5 or 6. But reading can become evil. Because I can read things that will turn me away from God. But not just because of that. I can let reading take over my life to such a point that it keeps me from serving God. I can read commentaries and brethren's papers from brethren and articles and sermon outlines and all sorts of things. And if I let that get in the way of me doing the other things God would have me to do, like training my children, taking care of my wife and family, then I've put something between me and God. Because God doesn't just command me to read and study. He commands me to take care of my family, to train my children, to teach others, to go out and commit the gospel to the world around me. You see? It's good to rest. We all like a good rest. I wish that we'd developed the pattern in our society that everybody kicked back for about 2 hours just after lunch and rested. Nap. I love the concept of a nap. But if I start napping all the time, it's going to get in the way of me serving God, isn't it? It's going to build a wall. Separate. And so, in that instance, napping can become evil. We could go on with more and more examples, but I think you get the point. We could talk about smartphones and tablets and internet and golfing and hunting and fishing and any of those other things. We could even talk about antiquing. I don't want to leave anybody out. In fact, sometimes we can even get involved so much with our family and kids and such that we let them come between us and God. So when we look at this idea of abhor evil, let's don't develop the idea that, oh, what Paul is telling us is we need to abhor, detest, refuse to have anything to do with all those evil things like murder and, you know, those sort of things. He's talking about things that would keep us from God. And we need to be careful that we don't let anything get between us and God. Because as Matthew says, as he records the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. New American Standard says money, the Old King James and New King James, I think, mammon or something of that nature, which, you know, we recognize includes more than just cash. It includes all those other things in the world that can get in the way. We cannot engage in evil. We cannot fill ourselves with anything that would separate us from God and still serve God. It just won't work. It's like trying to absorb sunshine while you're inside the building. It's not going to happen. We need to abhor evil because of what it does to us. It's empty. It's spoiled. It separates us from God. It'll make us empty and spoiled and separated from God. Paul didn't stop with the poor evil. There is nowhere in Scripture that I have ever found where God says, don't do this, where He doesn't also at some point follow it up with, do this. Cleave to. That word cleave means different today than it did back when it was initially written back in 1611. It's more the idea of cling to, as we have. Hold fast. The grip that I have on a ladder as I go up toward my roof. The hold you have on the rope is keeping you from falling. Hold fast to good. Seek God. One who is full loathes honey, but the one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. Let me put that in just plain old me language. I never thought there would be a time that I couldn't eat a piece of pecan pie. Never thought that would happen. But there's been a Thanksgiving or two and a Christmas or two when I have eaten so much turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce and sweet potatoes and all that, that I just could not eat that. In fact, I ate two bites of pecan pie at my mother-in-law's Thanksgiving last week. It's been a week, 2 weeks, however long it was. Because I just didn't have any room for any more. Filled myself with so much good stuff, I didn't have room for the extras. You know why they give you a basket of bread? Or you know when you go to a Mexican restaurant, they put them chips and sauce in front of it? When you go to somebody's house and they put a bunch of bread out there, the more bread you eat, the less of the rest of it you're going to get, huh? That's why I don't eat salad. I want to eat my steak. If I got room, maybe I'll eat salad. The steak tastes better than salad, right? If we fill ourselves up with good stuff, we're not going to have room for the evil. Now, chapter 25, verse 16, warning this. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit. This goes back to those good things that we can have too much of to the point that they separate us from God and keep us from doing what God would have us to do. We need to take care of our family. We need to provide for our own. But if that gets in the way of serving God, it can become evil. Too much of a good thing can be bad for us as well. But we need to fill ourselves with that which is good. Paul told the Romans, as we made reference a moment ago in the beginning of chapter 12, verse 2 in particular, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Put your focus on God's Word. Fill yourself with that. Hey, I like a good episode of Evening TV as much as anybody does. But that better not be my main diet. I better be filling myself up with the Word of God. Do you understand all the opportunities that we have in our society, in the world we live in today, to have God's Word before us? I'm not just talking about the fact that most of us has got a half a dozen Bibles more than we actually use. You're like that. You got Bibles packed up that you hadn't touched in years because you got them from grandparents and parents and all. Or, well, maybe you're not like that. There's articles, blogs, Facebook posts, recorded sermons. I suspect I could give you enough sites that you would have enough sermons to listen to 8 hours a day, 7 days a week if you wanted to. And I hear the same one twice for a whole week. But more importantly, we've all got one of these. Well, maybe you got one of these other electronic versions. And we can spend a lot of time on those things, doing a lot of things. Are we filling ourselves with the Word of God? Tell you what, think about this. Next time you want to go on a diet and lose weight, you go to Walmart, you buy you 2 cases of Mountain Dew, 4 boxes of Twinkies, 2 boxes of Nutty Bars. Don't forget to get a few Star Crunch. And lay them out on the table where you can see them every time you walk into the kitchen. And then force yourself to leave them alone and go eat spinach and asparagus and drink water. That's what we do with our spiritual life sometimes. We've got all kinds of various levels of evil, because we think in levels of evil, scattered throughout our homes. And then we tell ourselves, I'm going to ignore that, and I'm going to put my focus on what's good. Paul said, don't do that. You change yourself by changing your habits, by changing what's in front of you, by changing your focus. You get yourself out of the dead, out of the spoiled, and fill yourself with good, godly things. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. I know every single one of us is going to be surrounded throughout our lives with things that are not good for us. I mean, I have to be honest, there's usually a couple of Mountain Dews in my fridge. But I need to learn to avoid those things that are evil and would keep me from God and fill myself up with that which is good. My wife and many other people say water is good for me. I ought to drink water. So I drink lemonade. It's closer to water than Mountain Dew is. And I drink water. And if I've got plenty of water and I keep myself filled, if I've got water to satisfy my thirst, I don't go to the refrigerator and pull that Mountain Dew out until it's pizza day. That's what it's saved for, pizza day. Why? Because I want to keep myself filled with that is what is good. We need to do the same with our spiritual minds, our spiritual hearts, our spiritual lives. We need to fill ourselves with what is good. The more good we have in us, the less we're going to be attracted by the bad. If you go look in the fridge and you got a fresh baked loaf of bread and you got another loaf of bread that comes from the store and it's got green stuff going on it, which one are you going to pick out? I mean, hey, even I know. I pick out the good. Do yourself a good. See, Paul said it for you. We ought to detest it. We want to have nothing to do with it. But we better fill ourselves up with good. Come on with the thirst. Receive the water of life. And then this thirst, come. Drink from the water of life, and you will never be thirsty again. Jesus told the water of life. I don't know the exact word, but pretty perfect. We need to fill ourselves with good. It makes it for you people that much better, that much easier. We need to avoid it. We still got to love everyone. Remember, it says, let love be genuine. Even before he said it, we have to do it. We abhor anything that can separate us, anything that does separate us from God. We need to stay away from it. Look into your life and see what you know. Have you turned away from you? Are you still dead in sin? Or are you still living in it? There's only one way to be dead to sin, and that is by giving your life to the Lord. By being buried in baptism for the remission of your sin. Because you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and He died on the cross of Calvary, and He shed His precious blood so that you might have your sins washed away through that sacrifice. And when you are obediently buried in that watery grave of baptism, you put to death the old man of sin. When you rise up out of that watery grave, you come up a new creature. You got a new family. You got a new life. A life that is separated from sin and evil and focused on God. You've not done that, you need to. Because without that, you have no hope for anything beyond this life except eternal destruction. If you've done that in the past and you find that you have strayed back into the things of the world, you've been caught up in those dead things again, it's time to come back to the Lord. Be refreshed with His blood. Repenting of your sins and asking for forgiveness. John tells us that God has promised that He will wipe them away as if they've never been. But your condition is more. And you need to be corrected. And we help. Opportunities are coming.